You're listening to the Gold Digger Podcast, episode number 190. Katie Storino is the queen of doing it all, and in such a poised and professional way. You may know her as her signature, the size 12-ish New Yorker, who believes great style can look chic at any size. Her platform, the 12-ish style, is to inspire girls like her who are stuck in size purgatory, not quite plus size, not quite straight sized. Not only that, she is also the founder and CEO of Megabag Beauty, a woman's comfort line that launched in June of 2017. And if that wasn't enough, she is a mama and social media guru behind two Insta-famous pups, Cheese and Muppet. Safe to say, she does it all and she does it so well. I wanted Katie to come on for those of us who are running one business but have an idea for a second and a third, or maybe you don't even know where to start because you are so passionate about so many things. And I know that so many of us are multi-passionate boss babes, and so I wanted to hear firsthand from someone that is managing multiple businesses so flawlessly. Today, Katie is going to teach us how to divide our time among projects, how to delegate resources, and balance our many passions. Speaking as a fellow multi-passionate girl boss, I think this episode is crazy valuable, and I learned so much from making the most of all of my passion projects. I'm just so excited about today's show, just because Katie kind of sells it to you straight. Like, some of this stuff is just really stinking hard, and you have to be willing to do the work. Now, before we dive on into Katie's interview, I want to share the review of the week from Jen 1. It is titled, Keeping Me in Check, and says, Jenna's podcast is exactly what I need every week to stay focused. I also grew up in Wisconsin, and her transparency with life experiences is what made me fall in love with the podcast. Her positive mindset is contagious, and her podcast content has taught me how to channel my inner gold digger. Thank you so much, Jen 1, for leaving that review. You guys, I don't even know why I say it every week, but I've got to. If you haven't left a review, can I ask why? Like, I know there are thousands and thousands of you guys tuning in. And if you want to help this movement, if you just want to help support little old me while I'm recording all these shows for you, if you want to make sure that the world gets to hear about the Gold Digger podcast, all you got to do is leave a rating and review on iTunes. It's really that simple. I'm not even joking. But without further ado, let's dive on in and hear from Katie Storino.
You're listening to the Gold Digger Podcast, where we firmly believe that work doesn't have to feel like work. Self-made millionaire and marketing guru Jenna Kutcher will help you redefine what success looks like. It's time to hear from the experts, listen in on honest conversations, and learn the best tips and tricks that helped others pave their own way and craft their dream career. If you're ready to dig in, do the work, and tackle your biggest goals, you're in the right place. Here's your host, educator, photographer, and mac and cheese lover, Jenna Kutcher.
Thanks to Fleur for supporting Gold Digger. Fleur creates expertly crafted, sustainably produced perfumes without all the bad stuff. It's sold at an honest price, too. It's a revolutionary way of discovering and experiencing fragrance. Go to Fleur.com today and use a promo code GOLDDIGGER to get 20% off your custom Fleur sample set. Pick 3 scents to try and get credit towards a full-size bottle of your favorite. That's PHLUR.com and use the code GOLDDIGGER. Enjoy! Major shout out to Grove for supporting Gold Digger. For all of your natural product needs, try Grove. Experience the magic of Grove with a 2-month VIP membership and a bonus gift by going to grove.co/golddigger. That's grove.co/golddigger. Grove makes it easy to have a happy and healthy home. All right, Katie. I was just telling you this, but you are legitimately the perfect woman for this interview. So welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
I'm so excited. Me and Katie got to meet in Miami at an Aerie event, and I felt like we were just like soul sisters right away. Not only is she multi-passionate, but she is like a badass businesswoman. So before we dive into the Q&A and talk all about how to balance these multi-passions in your life, tell us, who is Katie? How did you get to where you are today? And what does your days look like now that you're pursuing multiple endeavors?
Yeah, well, Currently, my life is centered around Mega Babe, which is my line of women's personal comfort products. Personal comfort is such a weird thing to say, but there's like no better name for the category yet because we're kind of creating it. I launched Mega Babe in 2017, last summer. So it's about a little over a year old. And I set out to tackle things like thigh chafe and boob sweat and pretty much topics that the beauty industry was ignoring, and real problems that women have were going unaddressed because they didn't really have viable solutions. And everything on the market was for men or athletes, and nothing was just for a girl who like is trying to wear a dress in the summer and not have like rashing thighs. So this is my first endeavor into product, making product. And that was a big change because I have been working for myself since I was 25 years old. Before that, I worked for Bobbi Brown Cosmetics and I worked for Dolce & Gabbana and Chanel in their PR departments. And then I started my own PR because I loved the work. I just didn't like the environments I was in. So I went out on my own, which was like, I felt super young at the time. And I don't know that I would advise anyone now to do that, but then it worked. And then in 2014, is that right? Yes. Wow. My dog Toast became kind of an internet thing. She's a toothless dog. She had a rescue, King Charles Spaniel, and her tongue was sticking out all the time. She was very cute. And I was like, this lady needs to be known more than just like in my house. So I made an Instagram account for her and I kind of took her on like a PR client and ended up pitching her out to different media outlets and trying to get her into stories. And everyone in my life was like, what are you doing? I think you've lost it. And I was like, no, I think this can be a thing. Like, I think that she can have a platform on Instagram, this growing social media network. And I think she can help change lives and ideas about rescue. So like Toast ended up getting married on Real Housewives of New York. She's the world's only dog supermodel. She was a model for Karen Walker Eyewear. She did the entire campaign on her own. She's on billboards all across the country still promoting rescue. And we ended up educating people about puppy mills. And for those of you who don't know, puppy mills are like factory farms for dogs. And it's the reason that you don't buy dogs online or in pet stores. 100% of the time they come from puppy mills and the parents there are treated very poorly. So that's actually why Toast's tongue hung out, because her teeth fell out by the time she was five. Anyway, so I ended up having three rescue dogs, Pants, Muppet, and Toast. And we wrote a book to Tampton. We did a ton of things. So that turned into a business. And so I was doing PR and Toast and all the charity work we were doing with it associated with puppy mills, which was awesome. So the headline there, now we've got two businesses. The headline there is that these are both things that I enjoy doing on my day to day. I love helping people grow their business. I love talking to people. So that's PR. And then obviously I love dogs and I'm passionate about rescue. So those were my other passions. So neither of those ever really felt like work for me right out the gate. Still with me? Okay. So on a photo shoot for Toast for NARS Cosmetics, I ended up meeting the Man Repeller Girls, which is a great blog. And they were like, we should do a style profile on you. So they ended up doing how to dress for like a curvy body type style profile. And I ended up reading the comments in there that were like, wow, I've never seen my body type on a blog before. I didn't know that other girls looked like me in fashion. And it clicked for me. I realized how I was feeling about my body for all those years working in fashion was so bad. And I felt so alone and so isolated. So I realized that there was a market out there of women who just wanted to learn how to get dressed in the fluctuating weight space of a 10 to 18. And essentially, I started the 12-ish style as a place to help you learn how to shop. And it ended up kind of pivoting into a body positivity blog, because once I realized that I had been chasing skinny for so long and that that was just never going to be my body, it's like I released all of that and I became totally comfortable, which was amazing. And that's kind of my message with, and my mission with 12-ish Style is to help women find that confidence and accept themselves as they are, or make changes, whatever is going to make you happy, but just knowing that your happiness is not going to come from your dress size. So through that, through 12-ish Style, I ended up retiring from PR and doing the dogs in 12-ish. And then after my seventh summer of applying a men's product to my thighs that is associated just straight up with men's balls, I said, why am I taking this disgusting package out of my beautiful Chanel handbag? Why am I doing this? Why is there nothing out there that's better? So I looked in the market and I realized there really was nothing out there that was not like D's nuts for her. And I, that's a real brand, by the way. Google it. I ended up looking into making product, which was totally new for me. And now we're back at Mega Babe. And so my three kind of consistent jobs and the time that I put into each kind of varies, but I say job because that's how I make money. But really, and you know this, if you're doing something you love, none of it ever feels like work, because I'm just talking to women about how to feel good about themselves. I'm selling a product that I make, that I use every single day, all day long, that I love, and I'm helping dogs. So it's like, those are three things that are kind of just naturally me and natural extensions of myself.
I love that. And for the record, everyone, Mega Babe is amazing. Katie sends it to me every time I go to Hawaii. And so many of you guys ask about thigh chafes. So if you're listening to this episode and you're like, oh man, I didn't even know there was a product. We were just talking about it. And the best part is too, is that it's non-toxic. And so you don't want to be putting things in places that don't belong there. So I love it, and I love the packaging, and I have it in our little swim bag every single day because we live in swimsuits and my thighs would not survive without it. So just wanted to note that it has my personal backing. I love it. So Katie, you have so many projects, and I feel like you and I can relate where it's like no 2 days are the same because we're always working on something. So can you kind of share a little bit about, you know, mixing your creative side, those passions, and then figuring out like, how am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to make a living, and kind of balancing those two things? Because I've found that a lot of people are super passionate about things, but they don't believe that they could ever make a profit from that.
Right. You have to have an eye for knowing how to monetize things, right? That's like just something you have to do. And if you don't have it, then you have to bring on a partner who has a money brain. Like it's just what I say. My sister has the money brain. So I am constantly talking to her. When I was running PR, my PR business, call her all the time, asking about charging people. Because if it were me, I'd end up doing everything for free and not charging anyone, because I'm a pushover in that space. And I know that about myself. So I surround myself with people who I can call and ask the proper way to ask for money, essentially, because I know that I'm bad at it. So one thing to do is make sure that you have someone in your corner who can say, no, this is how much you charge. And this is what the market is telling you that you should charge for, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely. I know Drew and I often do this because he's super passionate. And I think I've just like learned to value my time so much. And so as he gets requests for things and stuff, he's like, so cool. They want to pay me $100. And I'm like, charge them $500. And like, I'm just like very, you know, I feel like after you do this for a while, you're like, I am worthy of getting paid to do what I love. But yes. I think when you're first starting out, it's like, this is so fun. Like, I don't even care. I'll do this if nobody pays me.
Yeah. But if you want to send me dental floss, I'm in. Like, whatever it is. Yeah, I'm with you.
Oh, it's so funny. And what I love too is your mission with your blog and just following you. And can you share, just so everyone that's listening kind of understands, I think one of the coolest things you do is that you take outfits that have been worn by celebrities or featured in the press, and then you show women that have curvier figures how they can duplicate that look. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think it is so cool.
Yeah, even though I'm a quote unquote fashion blogger, I find it stressful to get dressed because sometimes I'm just not inspired to think of an outfit, and copying looks is something that or getting inspired by someone else's style is something that I do in my personal life. And celebrities have stylists on retainer. They have designers giving them clothes and love clothes. So when they're wearing something in public, someone else thought about it for the most part. And so they thought about it. They ran it through a trend cycle. They're really like coming up with a look. And so I like to take inspiration from that for sure in my day-to-day life. Now, what I think is funny is that many women, they'll be like, oh, I love like Selena Gomez, but I could never pull off her style. And I'm always confused about that. Like why someone would say, I can't do that. I can't wear that. That's not for me. So all I'm trying to do is take these really well thought out outfits and translate them into a larger size so that you can see that you can actually wear the white mini skirt or the crop top or whatever it is that you have told yourself you can't wear, you can pull off.
Mm-hmm. I love it. It's just super awesome to see because obviously you and I are similar in size and body stature. And so it's really fun to see how you do that and how you do it with things mostly that you already own, which I think is super.
Yeah, well, actually, I call most of the things I pull in are, I pull them in from brands so that people can shop them.
I love
and it. I also, it's fun for me too, because I don't know how the look's going to turn out until we finish it. And then it's all to see.
That is so awesome. So we haven't talked a ton on the show about starting a product-based business. And there are so many things involved when it comes to product-based businesses, from creating the actual product and figuring out, especially for you, like the ingredients and the mix for it, and then also the fulfillment side of things. So can you kind of walk us through from conception of Mega Babe to actually shipping out your first few orders? Like, what did that look like?
Very scary. So the thing about product, especially in the beauty category, is it's different from making something like a shoe or jewelry, where it's just it's out there. And one thing you have to learn when you're making beauty products is that there's like a whole legal side of things that you don't know about. And dealing with vendors and dealing with people who are making those products for you is just another full-time job. And so both of those, it's way beyond like, I want to make this product. There are so many details behind it and going into the factory, going into the lab, making sure that the color, the Pantones match the thing. Like there's so many little details. So I obviously could not do this 100% by myself at all. So when I knew I wanted to do it, I tapped my sister and her business brain and my best friend out in San Francisco, and she has like a great eye for branding and for product. And so we work together on this, and my parents still ship everything out of their house.
Oh my gosh. I don't think I knew that.
Yes. So everyone is like, wow, like, like everyone looks at me like we have this like big business, but even though we are sold in Ulta and we're sold in J.Crew and we're doing QVC and we're doing all these big things, it's still, you know, it's still like we are bootstrapping it, and we are like really every single thing has our eyes on it, and we're small. So, and it's really time consuming. If you don't stay on like the factory, if you don't stay on some of the details, everything falls apart, and it's extremely time consuming. And the only reason, I don't know, I mean, you didn't ask me this, but I'm just going to say the only reason I made this product is because it's not out there. I don't know that it would be worth it in any way, shape, or form if I was trying to make a lipstick or a mascara or a shampoo. Like there's nothing out there in the beauty space that I can think of that isn't out there in like 400 iterations already. because this is hard work products. So if you're not bringing something to the table that is truly unique, I would not be in this business.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of like Shark Tank when they're pitching things and they're like, you could only own like 1% of this market, but there isn't a market. Did that freak you out at all in the sense of like, why has no one else done this? Because I think it's such a beautiful thing to be like, I am first to market with this product, but there would be a part of me in the business side of things to be like, have people tried this and failed? Or like, why has nobody done this? Did you experience that at all?
Jenna, I'm glad that I didn't have those thoughts because I probably I wouldn't have started either. I was just like, I want it to be better and I want, this is what I want. So no, but the challenge with being first to market and creating something in a white space, which is like something that's unexplored or isn't overly saturated. And it's weird to hear those things from like big giant retailers who are like, you've created a new category here. We don't know where to put you. We don't know where to put you on the shelves. We don't know how to talk about you. That's really hard because it's something that's so easy for me to talk about is so confusing for press, for stores. Like, it's like they don't know how to catch up yet. And I really, do you remember Friendster? Yeah. Okay. So that's what I always say in my head. I'm like, I hope Facebook not Friendster. And so I hope that even though we're first to market, I hope that we're the leader and the like category standard, more like a Spanx. And that we can pave the way and not have other people just learn from our mistakes.
Yeah. I mean, it is so interesting too, because it's not like a new concept, but also if you just saw it on the shelves, like your marketing messaging has to be so on point. Yes. For stores to sell it, because you could sell it all day. But when you think about mass producing something or having it just be displayed, like people could definitely just walk past it without even realizing it's a solution to a problem that they have. Have you guys kind of explored like how do we share this with the world? Like how do we get that message out
there? Well, because we're small and because we're self-funded, we have been using mostly like organic gifting to friends on Instagram and posting about it on my feed to my followers and press. So basically, that's how people are hearing about us at the moment. Hopefully, as we grow, we'll be able to get people's attention in different ways. But it's a totally confusing thing. I have people ask me like the shape of the thigh chafes. We make a deodorant too. And like people ask me because the shape of the thigh stick is in kind of a deodorant shaped container. They're like, can I use this as deodorant? Can I use the Busta? Like there's a lot of apprehension and confusion around, like, because they're new products, about what to do with them or what you can and can't do with them. So there's totally a level of customer education that we're doing every day. And I'm in my DMs for probably 2 hours a day answering questions. We have, you know, Kate out in San Francisco is doing customer service. She's on there all day, every day. We are constantly dealing with our customers and educating them. But once they know, and they get it, they become advocates for Mega Babe. And I tell you, every time someone posts something about thigh chafe on the internet and there's a comment section, I go through and right away I see my girls out there just, get Mega Babe, get Mega Babe. So that makes me so happy because I know that they love the product so much that they feel like they need to share it.
I love that. I know I share it. What was the most frustrating part about a product-based business? Like, what was the thing that you were just grinding your teeth on? Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I have to do this.
I would say the fact that you can't control your factories and you can't control their timelines. And essentially, we have over 10,000 people waiting for deodorant right now. And that is because we can't control anything about the production and the timeline for that. So that is, as a business owner, looking at like 10,000 people who want your product is incredible, but all you're doing every day is just thinking about how you're disappointing 10,000 people. So that is really frustrating, just the lack of control you have in production. And ladies, if you're out there and you want to look into like lab science and fulfillment and can that whole, what I'm trying to say is, ladies, if you're thinking about getting into products, consider the other side, the science side and the manufacturing side, because it is full of men and it's very archaic and it really needs an update and some women in there. So consider it, please, so that I can work with you.
Picky about what products you use in your home? You've got to try my favorite distributor of natural home care products, Grove. As you know, when I struggled with our fertility journey, I was on a mission to clean up all the chemicals in my home. And then I found Grove. Grove allows you to pick from countless natural products that arrive right on your doorstep at your choosing. That's right, it comes right to your door. And I love that they helped make my transition to natural products and ditching the toxic products so easy. I absolutely love and admire that Grove is bringing sustainability, safety, and transparency to an industry that's dominated by products with harmful chemicals and toxins, especially since we're preparing for baby Gutcher. And I want to ensure that all home and beauty products will keep our little ones safe and healthy. It is so easy picking between Burt's Bees, Mrs. Meyers, and countless other brands where I can be sure that every product has been rigorously tested for health, effectiveness, and environmental impact. If you're ready to make your home chemical-free and healthy for your family, try Grove with a two-month VIP membership and a bonus gift by going to grove.co/golddigger. That's grove.co/golddigger. Enjoy meeting Grove and making sure you have a happy, healthy home. Here's the deal. I love changing up my fragrance game. Fleur Fragrance creates expertly created, sustainably produced perfumes without all the bad stuff, and it's sold at an honest price. Does it get any better? Gold Diggers, it is honestly a revolutionary way of discovering and experiencing fragrance. My favorite aspect is that these fragrances are good for me and the earth. No questionable ingredients, and they even have eco-conscious packaging. You all know I am crazy about what I put on my body and do my best to avoid unnecessary chemicals. And I love that Fleur made it so easy for me to find a scent that smells so good. You can try a few options at home on your own skin and see what you love. The best part is Fleur is completely transparent. They tell you every ingredient in their perfumes and why it's there. No secrets, no nasty ingredients, and no BS. To get your hands on one of the sample sets so that you can find your dream fragrance, go to Fleur.com today and use the promo code GOLDDIGGER to get 20% off your custom Fleur sample set. Pick three scents to try and get credit towards a full-size bottle of your favorite. That's promo code GOLDDIGGER at Fleur.com to try three Fleur fragrances of your choice at 20% off. PHLUR.com. I love that. So let's kind of talk about being multi-passionate. And what does a typical day or week look like for you juggling these three very different businesses? Like, how do you do it? How do you know where to devote your time? Are there different seasons for different businesses? Kind of fill us in on all of that.
It's like every day is for a different business. So some days I have a shoot for the dogs, and so I'm doing that for most of the day, or sometimes I'm shooting for 12-ish, or sometimes I have like a mega babe appearance or a meeting. So it's the day, it's really by the day. It's not seasonal for me. And that is cool because every day is different, but it's stressful because I know you're a very big planner and I'm mm-hmm. very impressed by your planning. I am not a planner, and maybe I should be, but I kind of allow the schedule to dictate my life in a way that it's like, oh, this person wants to meet, cool. Like, I keep everything open so that the week fills up as it's meant to, but I could probably work on that.
Don't worry, we're recording an episode about batch working soon and how we like separate our tasks. So maybe you can tune into that one.
I will tune into that.
I mean, it is so hard because I feel like, especially when you have multiple projects going on, some days it's just like you're putting out fires and not actually making progress. And yeah. So you know, what has it been like in the sense of, like, have you always stayed passionate about these projects you've started? Have you had seasons of burnout? Like, what does that look like for you?
I would say I've gone, there have definitely been moments of burnout. I would say the in these three businesses, I've been doing the dogs the most. And Toast, unfortunately, passed away in December. And I'll be honest, since she's left, it's been hard to, like, get refired up about the dogs, even though I've got the account. I have Cheese and Muppet, and actually my dog Pants died last week, so that was really hard. It's been a tough dog year, but I know I have this giant account of almost 400,000 followers that I can engage for rescue message. So I just keep remembering that and keep going back to it. And so when I'm feeling like, oh, I don't really feel creative about them right now, I'll post something about adoption or rescue. And that keeps me motivated to keep going back.
Mm-hmm. I know it was so funny when we met in Miami and you're like, do you follow my dogs? And I was like, wait, your dogs? Like, I follow Katie. What is this? And it's just insane because you're managing multiple brands and you're having to prioritize, you know, what's going to make the most sense, what's going to move the needle the most. And so one of the biggest questions I think I get is that people are really passionate about all of these different things. What kind of advice would you give them on knowing where to start or what makes the most sense? Should they start with multiple businesses or get really good at one thing first? What worked for you?
Well, so I, as many, like you said, entrepreneurs like this with multiple passions have a lot of ideas. And so throughout the years, I wanted to start an ice cream store. I wanted to start an ice cream business. I've had a lot of ice cream specific ideas, of course. I love ice cream. I've wanted to do a bunch of different things. And what happens usually when I get, like, super excited and super into something for a day, a week, and I just start obsessing over it, I have to force myself to play it out, what my day-to-day looks like for that. And I end up dropping those ideas because I think about what my life would be and I don't want it. So that's one way. The other thing is, even though you might be really passionate about something, you have to make sure that you're coming in with a point of view that is going to allow people to get something different from you. Because I don't think there's anything harder than getting people's attention, and getting people's attention while you're fighting against the big boys with the same message is really, really hard. So it's like people ask me about, they're like, how can I make my dog famous? And I'm like, it's 2018. We've had the dog moment and it's really hard. Like, it's hard work. So to be able to break through in some spaces that are just super saturated is not something that I would recommend trying unless you're heavily, heavily funded by something, someone.
I know. I think too, something I've learned, I'm sure you can relate to, like, you can be passionate about ice cream and not have to create a business around it. And I feel like so many, like, my brain automatically, whenever I have an idea, I'm like, how can I make money doing this? If I'm going to do it, how can I make money? And it's almost like a reminder, like, it's okay to just have passions, to be a passionate person. Like, sometimes when we turn our passions into our jobs, you kind of lose, like, the luster of it. And I know that happened to me with photography. I mean, just like, oh no, now it's work. Like, now I have to do this and show up even on the days where I don't feel creative.
Yes.
So I think it's so hard because it's like, we love so many things. Like, we're excited about so many things. And I would way rather live a multi-passionate life. But when you're looking at, like, I got to pay the bills, I got to buy groceries, it's like, man, this is really hard.
You know what? And there's a misconception around being a blogger because I don't think I ever really set out to be a blogger or to know really what that means. But I have to photograph things that are shoppable and current. Otherwise, if I just posted pictures of stuff that I own all the time, like, people would be frustrated because it's like, well, where can I buy that sweater? I can't buy that sweater. So I'm constantly calling things in from brands. I have to do photo shoots. I have to, like, look and see what's out there. And I don't think shopping for me is one of the things that I actually lost a love for. I never loved browsing, but I loved like getting new clothes. And I know that this sounds crazy, but acquiring new clothes is something that like is not something I really enjoy anymore. I don't have like the same love for clothes that I used to have because it's the part of the job that is really stressful is the in and the out of like the intake of product and the like and having to return it or having to like get rid of it now that you've been gifted something that you don't really want to wear. And then it's like, where are you going to donate it? Like, you know, you have to get it to the place. Like there's things about like the physical product of blogging that are stressful. Also the environmental impact. I don't know if you feel this way. I'm sure you get sent a ton of stuff like that you get these crazy boxes and you're just like, oh, one, I don't want anything in here. And two, now I have to deal with it. And three, it's such a waste. So you can give it away and donate it all you want. But like at the end of the day, it's still like a thing to deal with. And I don't
want
to sound like a whiny.
No. I shared about that on the podcast. It was in one of the episodes where it was like 10 things I'm afraid to tell you. And I was afraid to tell people that like I hate getting packages in the mail because so often it's like people being generous or people really wanting us to enjoy their products. But we get so much stuff and I am just a minimalist at heart. Yes. And it makes me anxious because it's like, if this doesn't fit, I can't send it back. It was free. Yeah. And now I'm worried that if I give it away, you're going to come back and say, hey, where's that photo with blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So we actually don't give out our address anymore because it was really overwhelming to me. And every day Drew would be like, what are you getting in the mail? I mean, it was like we were gone for 4 days and we came home and we had 8 packages. Like, and it's just, it's overwhelming and it's such a crazy problem. Like we're like, oh my God, first world problems, but it is a problem. And it's like, especially with baby coming on the way, like we want simple, we don't want a bunch of stuff. And so it's been so hard because people's intentions are so pure and so wonderful, but it's like, I'm so sorry, but we don't have a PO box set up yet, which we don't. And so we're not comfortable giving out our address.
Yeah, I think that's valid. And I think it's just one of the things when you look at like relative to jobs in the world, no, I'm not sitting at a computer all day in fluorescent lighting, looking at a spreadsheet, but no job is without downsides and weird stresses. And the fact that like, when you leave your house, you have to feel like you have to look a certain way because you're going to run into people. And it's just like, it's a different type of stress and one that I'm inviting into my life. So I understand that, but it's not for everyone.
Absolutely. So here's my big question. Like, what was the biggest lesson you learned from going from one business to two businesses to three businesses? Like, what was something that your world was kind of rocked by that you didn't expect?
I think at the pinnacle of my business addition, so I was doing PR, the dogs, 12-ish, and starting Mega Babe, I was going through a divorce. So I think I filled the hole and I turned all the anxious energy I had and the worry and all the time I had, I turned that into productivity. And I didn't want to like sit around and do nothing. I felt really good when I was working. So I just kept working. And that is just something that got me through my divorce. And Mega Babe is a product of it. Like that is 100% taken from being up at 5 a.m. and not being able to fall asleep and just having this new life to adjust to. I absolutely turned to work and it gave me happiness and satisfaction and a place to put my energy. And I love what has come out of it.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%. When we went through our miscarriages, I think my like first instinct was just to dive deeper into work, to not sit and think all day. And some of that is beautiful. And then I feel like 6 months into that, I was like, all right, it's time to actually face what's going on. As ugly as it is, but I think for a lot of people, when you're going through hell, it's like you just want purpose and you want something to stay busy with. Thanks for sharing that, because that's actually really encouraging.
Yeah. And I think that there you have at those times in your life, you have a choice and you can fall apart and you can certainly fall apart. Like, you don't need to be put together the whole time during your life crisis, but you have a choice whether you're going to totally crumble and break, and you can break, but you have to be resilient and you have to do the work and you have to go to therapy and you have to do whatever is going to make you, if you got to cry for 2 hours a day, whatever is going to make you go through it and not around it is what's going to make you come out better on the other side, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Have there ever been any times where you've just wanted to quit one of your businesses? Like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. Like, what was that like?
Honestly, no, I have not.
I love that.
I don't have, knock on wood, like, I don't have moments like, I have not had moments like that where something really bad has happened.
I feel like I've had days and I'm like, you can never quit on a bad day. Like, you have to quit on a good day. I think when Nastia Lukin was on the podcast, she had shared the days she wanted to quit gymnastics and her mom was like, I will never let you quit on a bad day. If you want to quit when you're having a really good day, fully go for it. But I think too, as entrepreneurs, like, a bad day doesn't mean a bad business or a bad life. Like, it's just a bad day.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. So how do you set your sights forward and create new goals and business ideas amidst like the chaos of chasing your tail and putting out fires and just keeping up with everything every day?
This comes back to surrounding yourself with people who can balance out your skill set. And Kate and Jenny, my sister and my BFF, they have skill sets that I do not have. I'm the Mad Hatter coming in with like, oh my God, we need to make this product. We need to do this. Let's do this. And they always make fun of me because I'm like ADD to the problem. Like, I'm always coming in like, we got to get to Brazil today. Like, Brazil, like, we need to like keep working on the US. So, but that's my role, is to keep pushing us forward and expanding us out. And their job is to rein it in and keep us focused on some of the things we have in front of us. That's that great balance, because I'm constantly walking around like sending, like, I'm a nightmare. Like, don't think I'm not a nightmare. I am a nightmare. I'm texting late at night. I'm emailing early in the morning. I'm like, did you see this? We have to do this. And everyone's like, oh my God. Like, I'm a nightmare. So
I think I'm with you. I think it must be something with like the multi passions, because I feel like my team actually runs better when I'm like offline than when I'm like, oh, I have this one idea. Can we do this quick? Or like, oh, I totally forgot about this one thing we should have done. Like, and so I think it just comes with the territory. I'm curious though, Katie, working with your sister and your best friend, how have your relationships changed and how has that been? Because I work with my family as well. And I think most of it has been positive, but there are some negative sides of that as well.
No, my sister's been running my life since I was born. Is your sister older or younger?
She's 6 years younger.
Oh, so you're the boss.
Okay, yep.
That's nice. I'm not the boss. My sister's been my boss forever. And Kate's been one of my best friends since I was 15 years old. So what has happened is that we've had to get to know each other as workers, and that has been complicated. My sister has had to try to balance me as like a business partner and not just a sister, and that does not work usually. And then Kate and my sister have had to get to know each other as coworkers and not just through me, which has been difficult too, honestly. We all have different strengths and different work styles, and I think we can come together and do successful things together, but it certainly is a process. But at the end of the day, if I have to talk to someone 50 times a day, I'd rather it be my best friend or my sister. And if I am going to be successful, I'd rather have my sister and my best friend be successful with me. And you just have to be aware of those, Kate and I call it a hate tree. Make sure you're not growing a hate tree in your stomach about someone. Mm-hmm. And so we try to check in about that stuff, and we're actually starting a new thing. Twice a month, we're having house meeting, y'alls. We're doing house meetings, and we're going to come and not an airing of grievances, but kind of an airing of grievances to make sure as a personal setting, you're coming in and being constructive and saying, hey, this isn't working for me. When you're like, when you call me at midnight, like I can't, that's not going to work for me. Mm-hmm. Can we readjust this? Right.
Yeah.
What about you?
I mean, yeah, I agree. So my mom and my sister both work for me, and my sister is actually moving on shortly, which I'm really sad about, but I'm also really excited about because I never wanted her to work for me forever. And so she's going back to nursing school, which is so exciting, but yeah. I am excited to like just be sisters again, because I think that, you know, it's like being her boss is such a different role. And like, I am very non-emotional about business. So I'm just like, all right, let's get work done. And then we can like be emotional about life. And so, yeah, I mean, it's definitely been such a blessing because I think as an entrepreneur, you dream of creating something that can like support the people who have supported you. And I think that is so cool. But I also think it absolutely brings challenges. And I think I've been so protective of relationships first. But at some point too, it's like, this is a business, like we got to make money. So yeah, I mean, I think it's like this, I love what you said, like, if I'm going to be successful, I want these people to be with me. And I think that is something that is so beautiful. And I don't think I've ever thought about it quite that way. So that opened my eyes a lot. But yeah, it definitely comes with challenges and total perks as well.
Yeah. Yes.
I love that. So to close this up, if you had one tip for our listeners during those long days of juggling all the things of entrepreneurship, what would it be?
So I guess it would be, if you are not comfortable with risk, if you're not comfortable with not knowing where your next paycheck is going to come from, entrepreneur life is not for you. And there is, I hope this isn't like a discouraging tip, but being an entrepreneur means having to deal with all the BS around health insurance, employees, all the like stuff that you don't think that you don't deal with when you're at a company. That being said, being able to control your schedule and control your life in a way is so well worth it for me. And when I was 22 years old, I said I wanted to work. I wanted to have a career where I could go get a cappuccino at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I didn't have to ask anyone about it. And that was my goal I set out to do. And I do that. So that's, in essence, I wanted to control my schedule. So even though there are those small hassles, it's worth it every single time for me.
I love that. Katie, where can everybody find you? We've talked about all of the places. So can you just kind of give us a rundown of where we can connect with you for all of the businesses you run?
Yes, at the 12-ish style on Instagram, at Megababe on Instagram, and at Toast Meets World on Instagram.
Amazing. And guys, for real, if you have thigh chafing issues or boob sweating problems, please check out Mega Babe. I sincerely love the products. I keep them in Hawaii. I need to get a set for like up here because it's kind of humid these days. But like, they are in our Hawaii locker because I use them all the time and just a true solution to a problem. And I think we talk about that so much on this show is like, what kind of pain points does your audience have and how can you create a solution? And I think you have done exactly that.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank
thanks for coming on, Katie. I love hanging out with you.
Yeah, thank you.
So there you guys have it. I love Katie. I just love how she doesn't sugarcoat things. Like, this entrepreneur life is hard. And I think a lot of times when people are interviewed for the show, it's so easy to see where they are now and forget like all of the hurdles they've climbed through. I mean, if I've learned anything from the hundreds of interviews I've done, it's that overnight success, it doesn't exist. And I think that for so many of us, being multi-passionate is such a beautiful trait that we carry, but it can also be a really confusing one as we navigate, how do I make a profit from this? Should this just remain a passion? How do I juggle all of the things? when I watch Katie online, I'm like, how does she do it all? She is juggling so many different businesses and she makes it look so easy. But if I know anything about life behind Instagram, it is that there is so much hard work being done. There are so much non-glamorous things happening behind the scenes in order to keep these things moving forward. I loved how Katie talked about what it's like to work with your family or your best friend, and also just how to break into an industry. I know for myself, I'd be really intimidated if I was first to market. And I love how she just didn't even think about it, but created a solution. A lot of times, if you don't know where to start, ask yourself, what are my people struggling with the most that I can help them with? Because that might be the place to begin. Until next time, gold diggers, keep on digging your biggest goals. And I cannot wait to hang out with you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Gold Digger Podcast. Dive into the show notes for this episode and all past episodes at www.golddiggerpodcast.com. If you love the show, share it with a friend. The more, the merrier. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time, you gold digger, you.